Thank you very much. So yeah, my name is Sumit Bose. I'm working for Red Hat and the identity management team. And due to this, I'm kind of in regular contact with Samba, Active Directory, getting users from Active Directory, mapping them to POSIX users, and trying to get the most out of what Samba offers for us to make it easy to cooperate with Active Directory. What I want to talk today is how to open Samba to a wider world, to broader use cases. So in the morning, we learned from Jeremy that he thinks that the most important task of Samba in the immediate future is to help you to watch more TV and to conquer the cloud. And when you're thinking of a cloud and what could Samba do in the cloud, you already can see certain quite different use cases. So there might be a single client in the cloud just offering SMB file services. On the other hand, there might be some foundation file server of the cloud infrastructure offering you images or whatever is needed in the infrastructure. There might be other clients not running a complete operating system, but what's modern today as well, running Samba inside of a container. And as you can imagine, there wouldn't be a kind of one-size-fits-all solution for all these kind of different use cases in the cloud. And I want to show you or give you a bit of an overview of what kind of plugins are currently used inside of Samba, coming from outside, or also offered by Samba, which allows tuning Samba to different kind of environments. And I hope it will make it understandable how easy it is with the help of the plugins to tune Samba to work perfectly in your environment without changing what is in common to all of this. And this is the protocols which are served by Samba. So first of all, I just want to give a bit of an overview. When I say plugin or module, what do I mean by this? And then I will run through a list of plugins which provided by Samba and a list of plugins used by Samba. And finally, we wrote a couple of plugins for the Red Hat Identity Management Platform to adapt Samba to our use cases. And I want to show you a couple of examples what is our use case and how we use Samba with the help of plugins in this environment. First of all, what is a plugin? The plugin is something which is loaded by a process dynamically at runtime and provides a fixed set of objects, typically function calls or if you like to call it methods. And when you think of it, this sounds very much like a library. It's also loaded at runtime when the process starts, and it also offers you a fixed set of objects or symbols or function calls. So where's the difference? Libraries must be available at runtime. So the binary knows what libraries it needs, and the dynamic linker will, when it starts the program, look for the libraries and its known search path, and if it doesn't find the libraries, the program cannot start. It will just, the linker will just say it cannot resolve some of the symbols, and you're stuck. In general, it has to be the same version as the binary is built with. There are certain version information which can help so that newer versions of the library can be used as well, but you have to take care that you have a matching version. If the version is not matching, your program doesn't start. The API is defined by the library. So for example, if you want to access an LDAP server and using LDAP client library, the library dictates the API, and the program which wants to use the API just has to adopt this. And typically, it's hard to change the libraries because of the way they are searched by the dynamic linkers. So if you have multiple libraries providing the same API, but kind of different implementations, think for example of cryptography or something like this, it is hard to change them. Or to easily switch between them without removing an existing library and replacing it with another one. So libraries are for kind of general purpose use, as I mentioned before. So when you want to talk to an LDAP server, you can use the LDAP library and has to adapt to its rules. A plugin, on the other hand, must not be available at runtime. It's not loaded by the dynamic linker. It's loaded later on by the program. And the program can decide, OK, the plugin is not there, so I don't use it. I'm losing some of my features, but I can still offer what's left. Depending on how your binary is configured, you can say if the plugin should be loaded or not, and also what kind of plugin should be loaded. There might be multiple plugins, and depending on how you configure it, you can choose to load this plugin A or plugin B. Typically, plugin has, when you write a good plugin, you put the version information inside of the plugin, and when your binary reads, loads the plugin, it reads the version information, and then also can decide, what kind of features do I have with this version? What can I offer? And what features do I have to drop? Plugins are stackable. So this means, for example, when you're processing a file as a file server and want to put it onto the disk, before you want to put it to the disk, you can check the file for viruses, you can compress the file, you can send it to the NSA, whatever you like. You can write plugins for the different tasks and stack them one after the other. So the file is processed first by the virus scanner, then it is compressed, and yeah, finally put to disk and sent to some other places. In contrast to the library, where the library dictates the API and all users of the libraries has to adopt it, here it is the caller, the program, who dictates or defines the API, because yeah, it is specific for the program. So APIs are application specific, and yeah, if not two applications share the same API for a plugin, it's hard to share them. So these are kind of the difference between the library and the plugin, and further on, I then would concentrate on what is available in Samba and how Samba uses plugin. First, I want to talk about plugins provided by Samba, so where the plugin information is coming from the outside. So you will see, I think, what I mean from the first example. Samba provides a pump plugin, normally connected to WinBind, so that users can log into Linux workstation with help of the, for example, Active Directory username and password. And the pump plugin will hook into the login process and accepting the username and the password, send it to WinBind, and WinBind says OK or not, depending if the password is right or not. You can use the PAM stack also not only to authenticate the user, you also can do access control with the account management, and you can also do some specific tasks when opening and closing a session. So a typical task here, for example, would be to mount the home directory of the user. And these plugins are stackable in the sense that you can use not only the PAM WinBind plugin, but also other plugins. For example, mounting a home directory will not be done by the PAM WinBind, but there is a specific plugin, for example, called PAM Mount. And also authentication, for example, is typically stacked, so you typically use also the PAM Unix plugin to do authentication against the local ETC passkey. So this is one example of a plugin provided by Samba, where the definition is defined outside of Samba in the PUM library. A similar one is the NSS plugin. This does not do user authentication, but user lookups. So this is the typically resolution username to UID, ID to username, and also finding home directory of the user and so on. So there are a number of calls, for example, get pvnum, get pvuid, which correspond on correspond to the POSIX call to resolve a user by name or a user by UID. So here I only printed the list of calls for a user. And you can see there is a kind of a similar list of calls to resolve group names and so on. And there are also calls to resolve hosts and services and so on. But those are rarely used by other providers than the files provider, because hosts are typically resolved by DNS or other means, but not so much by, for example, WinBind or others. And all the other maps, like the services, are typically files on the host and also not served by any other module. But the NSS modules are stackable as well. So you typically also have the NSS files module, which first checks your user or your groups in the local files in etc passvd and etc groups, and then goes on, for example, to NSS WinBind to ask WinBind for user and group information. Next plugin which is provided by Samba is the Kerberos Locator plugin. This helps the Kerberos library to find a suitable KDC. Depending on what kind of Kerberos do you use, if you're using Heimdall or MIT Kerberos, this API differs a bit. Samba has a couple of if devs in its code to make it easy to compile either for MIT or Heimdall. I've printed here the MIT version, and you see it is kind of quite simple. It has version information, an init and finalized code, and then the actual lookup code. Why is this module important? Why can I just take the KDC from etc.kerb5.conf? Well, typically you don't put a KDC in there in an Active Directory environment because you want to resolve the KDCs at runtime or your domain controllers at runtime. You don't want to put a fixed name in the configuration file, but you want to discover what is there, what server is running and what not, so that you always will find a suitable one. The locator plugin hooks into this lookup and makes sure, while talking to WinBind, that you always talk to a single KDC as long as possible. Why is this important? The typical case when you, for example, join a domain, you're joining to a specific KDC, and this KDC or Active Domain Controller knows the new client. As a next step, you do a dynamic DNS update. And if you not talk to the same DC, he might not even know that the new client exists because the information hasn't replicated. So this is why it's important to try to talk as long as possible to a single domain controller or a single KDC. And this is why the locator plugin was added to the Samba sources. What have we next? Bind DLZ plugin. So currently, there are two ways the Samba Active Directory controller can provide DNS services, either by a built-in DNS, where in the previous talk, Andrew has mentioned that there are a couple of issues, or by using Bind together with a plugin provided by Samba, which allows Bind to read the data of the Samba database and to serve them via DNS. So both has its advantages and disadvantages. And since Mark has mentioned in his talk in the morning that a couple of people say they think the DLZ plugin is a bit slow and they kind of looking for a bit better performance with DNS, and it was mentioned that there are some issues with the internal. I would like to point you out to something which some colleagues of mine have written. It's called Dynamic Database IPA, or DynDB for Bind 9. It's currently described on this wiki page. It is work in progress. There are patches for the current Bind 9 version. The colleagues are kind of closely working with Samba upstream to get this into Bind 9.11. And this gets you upstream, yeah. Bind, what is it? Oh, sorry. Yeah, so Bind upstream, so the next Bind 9.11 release. And this DynDB plugin offers you more or less direct access to the Bind internals, which removes a lot of overhead from parsing strings to one format to another and so on, and also makes it possible to offer features like DNSSEC, incremental zone transfers, transaction. So you more or less have access to the Bind internals, and hopefully it will make it into the next Bind release. We already use this in the Red Hat identity product, where we have a similar setup. We have all the host data in an LDAP server and use this plugin interface to read the data out of the LDAP server. And there is also a separate plugin already available called Bind DynDB LDAP. And if you want to use the LDAP interface of Samba to read this data out and not go directly into the Samba database files, then it might be even possible with some minor tweaks to use the plugin we use in the IDM project of Red Hat, also use with Samba and offer DNS via this plugin based on the data which are stored in the Samba database. Another one which might become more important during the next release, the KDB backend. Here, it is also the MIT Kerberos version. Why is this important? Similar to the DNS service, where the Bind wants to offer information from the internal Samba database and present it as DNS data, the KDC, or a KDC, wants to get information from the Samba database, username, user principal, user password, Kerberos hashes, and prepare tickets and so on. Currently, Samba is using the Heimdall KDC, and which is kind of closely integrated into Samba source tree. But Andreas and Günther are working on porting this to MIT, where the KDC is running as a separate process. And uses this plugin to read the data out of the Samba database and make the KDC work as expected. Yeah, the talk about the status. Last year, they presented, it was kind of kickoff of this project here at Samba XP, so they presented a talk with their first results. And tomorrow they present a status update for this, and I think they will say it's ready soon. Okay, so these were what kind of plugins are implemented inside of Samba to make external programs happy, so where the plugin definition is defined outside of Samba. Now I want to give you a short, I guess not complete overview of the plugins already defined in Samba and used by Samba internally to make Samba as flexible as it currently is. What most of the plugins have in common, there is a registration call, typically SMB register, and then kind of plugin type, where either a list of functions or function pointers or an initialization method is handed. Typically, this method will also just generate some function pointer list, but so this is a kind of cosmetics. One, starting with A, is the auth plugin. So it's about how the user can authenticate. I guess here there are various plugins, and it might be already pretty complete. I'm not sure if it would make sense, for example, to add plugins which allows you to authenticate with your Facebook credentials or whatever. But if you want to do this, log into Samba with your Facebook credential, I guess this is the point where you have to hook a plugin which validates your account against your Facebook credentials. Another one is the perf count module. If you want to get performance data all out of Samba, there is already one implementation for this. It has hooks to most of the I/O operations so that you can get performance data out of it. One of the most important and most used plugins is the VFS module, so the virtual file system layer, what I mentioned earlier. So before writing a file, you want to run it through a virus scanner, compress it, or put it to some non-POSIX file system like Gluster or Ceph's. And all this can be done with the VFS plugins. I've only shown part of the plugin definition, so there are more than 100 methods. But don't be afraid, there is an excellent documentation written by Richard Sharp, and I think also continuously updated. So over the time, the plugin interface changed a bit, and he's trying to always have a good documentation on the latest version. So if you want to hook in how files are stored or read by Samba, this is the place to go, the VFS modules or VFS plugins. Next one, this is typically heavily used by Samba, the IDMAP plugins. Samba is connecting two worlds, Active Directory and the Unix POSIX-based world. In Active Directory, you have your SIDs or SIDs, which are 120-bit numbers to identify each and every object in the universe. And on the other hand, you have POSIX, and a tiny 30-bit number to identify a user or a group. And so you have to create a mapping between the SIDs and the UID and connect also this to the username to make everything consistent. And this is what the IDMAP plugin do, besides some initialization. Oops, sorry, I always hit the wrong button. Here you see calls like Unix IDs to SIDs, SIDs to Unix IDs, and maybe if you need it, you can also allocate some new IDs. There are different versions. Some are usable in larger environments. Some are only usable on a single client. So it depends on, do you need to have the same POSIX ID on every single client or not? Typically, you want to have on every single client the same POSIX ID. Next, it's a bit related. It's the NSS info plugin. So this is not about the POSIX user ID or group ID of the group, but especially for the user, the other information, so the home directory, the shell, and so on. And depending on your AD installation, those data can be read from AD, but also can be generated by templates. And this is what those plugins can do. Another one is the PassDB plugin. So this is not for the users coming from Active Directory. This is for the users that are served by Samba, which has Samba has in its own database. And since we are in a Windows and Active Directory environment, this PassDB plugin does not only include information about users and groups. There are, as I said here, more than 60 other methods, which also include reading host entries and managing trust or storing and reading data about the trust domains from the Samba database. I will give you a bit of an example later on how we use this. Not strictly related to Samba, but at least a bit. There is also the SIFS client utilities. So when you're not being a SMB file server, but an SMB file SMB client, you use the Linux use the SIFS kernel module and the SIFS client utilities, and they also have a plugin to map the IDs. For the kernel, it's a bit different. It gets the data from the Windows or Samba file server, and all the access control are expressed by SIDs. And yeah, since the kernel cannot talk directly to AD and make some whatever tree connect or so, it uses up calls to call into user space and asking user space to resolve the SIDs, the names, names to SIDs, and so on. And to be flexible here as well, the up call has a plugin interface, and so you can choose also how to the method how to translate the ID map, the SIDs to names, SIDs to names to SIDs, SIDs to IDs, IDs to SIDs. I will also mention this later on. One other thing. There are a couple of very good internal libraries, which I think also mentioned today. For example, the TELOC allocation library, the TDB database. And based on this, there is an LDAP-like database, the LDB, which also provides a plugin or module interface. Why is this important? For example, when you create a user, you typically want to ask just for a username, but to be a proper user in an Active Directory environment, it would need to have SID. So when you create a new user entry in your database, you want to make sure there always is a SID. And this is, for example, a way for plugins. So then you use a hook to the add method, so create a new user, and write a plugin that whenever a new user or a new group is added, you generate a SID for the user and put it into the database entry as well. And there are certain other attributes which might be useful to kind of auto-generate, where you also can use these hooks. I will show you another example later on as well, what can be done with these modules as well. Interesting enough, the LDB does not only use TDB as backend, but can use other backends. And similar as Ira mentioned, I think two or three talks ago, about Gluster, where everything is a kind of filter, here in LDB, everything is a plugin. As you can see, the interface for a normal plugin and for a backend are completely the same. And so, yeah, you can implement a new backend as you can implement a new plugin. Basically, yeah, there is no difference. You always have those LDAP operation, add, modify, delete, rename, and a plugin has to hook into this, and the backend has to offer those. So, yeah, it makes sense to just use the same information. If you want to know more about new backends in LDB, I can recommend the talk tomorrow morning by Jakob, who is working on a new interface backend for LDB, which hopefully will improve some performance. Okay, so this was a more or less incomplete list of plugins defined inside of Samba. And now I want to go to some examples. And I picked the examples of our work, which we where we came across using Samba, which is related to the Red Hat Identity product, which we call Free IPA, which offers LDAP service, KDC, DNS, NTP, a certificate server. And if we want to trust an Active Directory forest, we also offer a limited set of MSRPC services. This is the server side, and also our client side is called SSSD, when Free IPA is our domain controller, SSSD is the client software reading from the IPA domain controller, but it is also capable of reading from LDAP and reading data from AD and offering them to the client via various interfaces besides PUM and NSS, which we already talked about, which is kind of typical for all Linux and Unix environments. We also offer other plugins, so offer services for other applications. So we, for example, have an sudo interface. So when your sudo rules are defined in LDAP or on IPA, they can be read centrally and offered to the client. With IPI, it is also possible to change the SELinux context of the user who's logging in. We are currently working on an interface for local services using Dbus, which need information about the user. So since we have all of this available, besides the ordinary POSIX attributes, we read all other attributes from the LDAP server as well. So like office number, telephone number. And so via Dbus, we can make this available to other applications. A typical setup together with Active Directory will look like this. So we have a free IPA server running SSD, and all the free IPA clients running SSD will talk to the free IPA server for everything. There are some areas where this is not true, but in general, they always talk to the free IPA server, similar as on the Active Directory side, where we have the Active Directory domain controller and the AD client getting all this information from the Active Directory domain controller. We can set up a trust between the two. And so whenever a client needs to resolve some users or groups from Active Directory, it will talk to the server. The SSD on the server will look up the groups, read it, and present it to the client via a special interface. To make the trust between free IPA and Active Directory possible, free IPA has to look a bit like an Active Directory domain controller to make the Active Directory domain controller happy and trust our IPA server. And what would be better than to use, one thing I wanted to mention here. It's about the ID mapping, I forgot. So when the IPA client looks up users and groups from Active Directory, the free IPA server, or SSD on the free IPA server, has some rules how to generate UIDs and POSIX IDs for Active Directory users and groups and present them to the client. One is that we just, if available, read the ID from Active Directory. So there are the special LDAP attributes in Active Directory, which can be filled. As an alternative, SSD can algorithmically generate them similar to Autorit. And finally, there is a new feature, which we call ID view, where we can override the IDs centrally on the server. So we define for a specific user a specific UID or for a specific group ID, and set this on the server, and all the clients will use the same ID. And Alexander will talk about this. As I mentioned, the MSRPC services are implemented by Samba, so we use Samba to present the MSRPC services. And what is most important for us is trust-related stuff, so that Samba Active Directory can look up our trust parameters, check if the trust password is in sync, and so on. And for this, we not implemented the whole PassDB backend, but only the calls are related to trust, the trusted user account, and so on. What we also implement, because in IPA, we use primary Kerberos for authentication and want to avoid storing LDAP passwords. There is a bind callback, which is, as far as I know, only used by the IPA PassDB backend, which allows bind with the help of a keytub, since we already have it. Yeah. If you want to look at the code and how we implement the PassDB plugin, please see the Git tree of free IPA, and I also pointed you to the right directory where we have the PassDB plugin for IPA. As I mentioned before, the SIFS client also needs to translate SIDs to usernames, SIDs to IDs, and so on. And so, for example, if in this setup the IPA client wants to read from some ID file server, we need a proper mapping here, which is an agreement which the IDs we generate on the IPA server. So we implemented a plugin for the SIFS client utilities, which does not talk to WinBind because WinBind is not running on our RPA clients, but SSD is running and has all the information about SIDs and UIDs. So it's kind of natural that the plugin will talk to SSD for the SID and name lookups. And we make it also possible with the Aspen Alternatives utility to switch between these two implementations virtually at runtime. So, but typically it makes not sense. It's mostly some kind of integration issue when you want to kind of install multiple packages providing the plugin. You need to have a way to switch between them. There's a plugin for LDB, which we use, it's a member of, when we add a user to a new group. There is an LDAP entry added to the group object saying that the user is a member. But to speed up lookups like which groups the user belongs to, with this plugin, at the same time, an attribute is added on the user side, a so-called member of attribute, which says that the user is member of the group. So if you want to know what groups the user is member of, you only have to look at the user object and get all the groups the user is a member of, and don't have to run through all the groups available and find if the user is there or not. There's also the link to the Git tree for the member of plugin for LDB. I already mentioned the case where an IPA client will want to read from Windows File Server. The SSD libwb client implementation is for the other side, when a free IPA client wants to offer file services to the trusted AD domain. Here it's basically the same. The ID, we cannot use WinBind for the ID mapping because WinBind is not aware of all the magic which is happening on the free IPA server, but SSD is. So we replace Samba's libwb client library with implementation which talks to SSD for ID mapping. There are a couple of things missing, so we are not a complete implementation. Authentication, Win stuff is missing, trust management is missing because we do it on the IPA server. Also, ID allocation is missing. And most of the stuff except authentication will not be implemented, so Wins is dead. Trust management we do otherwise, ID allocation we also don't need. Authentication is something I plan, but there are some obstacles mainly related to NTLM because we kind of need an independent implementation here. It is also possible to use the alternatives tools to switch both the Samba and the SSD implementation, but using a library here is not that easy. So it took a while to get this working correctly with packet management and all that stuff. Okay, something I would like to recommend to think about in the Samba world is a local auth plugin we already use in SSD. This helps you to map Kerberos principal names to usernames. Typically, what you're doing is, when you have a Kerberos principal, you just ignore everything after the at sign and take what's left as a username. This works in most cases, but there are various cases where this does not work. And also, the programs has to be aware of it. So for example, when you log in with SSH, given your username, and want to use GSS API for authentication, then this kind of works, because as long as your username matches the first component of the Kerberos principle. If you, for example, want to log in with the Windows-style username, let's say domain / username, it will fail because this does not work with the default mapping the Kerberos library is doing. And here the local auth plugin come into play. They take the name you give at the login prompt, the principal, and try to compare if they match or not. And here also the backends like WinBind or SSD can be used to look them up. Okay, so I hope I have shown a bit that if you need to adapt Samba to your environment because it's not working as you want to or expected to, have a look at the plugins and see what they can do for you. Thank you very much for your attention.
Any questions for Sumit? questions?
What plugin mechanisms would you add if you, where do you see that we should be going with plugins, or should we be doing less of them?
No, not less, more. I hope that I've shown that they are very useful, and you already use quite a lot. So I think this is one thing which helps Samba to adopt, for example, in the cloud and to the various products you have there. And yeah, so my wish would be that the WinBind, the WP client stuff, would be also implemented as a plugin and not as a library. This would make life easier for at least integrating this to some environments and switching between the different implementation. But yeah, this will be only happen when the WP client interface gets redesigned. And yeah, this will happen at some time.
I think you also missed the GenSec plugins.
Yes, but
they're not really external.
Yeah, some of them are, for example, PassDB. I think there might be a discussion if this is internal or external. Yeah, but yeah, as I said, it's not kind of complete.
And no.
Yeah, GenSec is one example which I missed. Yes.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, I have a plugin I want. I want the whole WinBind part that does the NTLM stuff as a plugin.
Because you don't want to write it on your own.
Exactly.
All right, then. Thank you, Sumit.
Thank you.